Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Mem Dalet. Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Yud Beis. We're middle of this discussing the Kohanim who have strayed. Okay, so we learned about the Kohanim who did not averos, and they were Pasuk Yud Beis. Yud Beis. Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Yud Beis. The topic refers to the Kohanim who have done averos. They have worshipped idols. They have gone astray. They are called Bnei Necha. Some of them do not even have a bris milah. And now they want to come back. They want to enjoy the glory of the Bayis Shlishi. Or really, this is referring to the time we're hoping for the Bayis Sheni at this point in time. And the question is, will they be accepted? Will they be accepted into the service? So Yechezkel says, in the name of Hashem, they'll only be accepted to do Shechita. They'll only be accepted to minister as assistants, but they're not going to be able to actually bring the korbanos on the mizbeach to do the zrikas hadam and the haktar of the emurim. Why? So pasuk Yud Beis says yan. The reason why they're not going to be allowed to enter into the full service is because asher yisharsu esam lefnei gilu lehem, because they ministered the Jewish people before their idols. They were participants. They were leaders. They were participants in worshiping idols. And these people were a stumbling block for the Jewish people. Al kein diafor nasasi yadi alehem. Hashem says, I raise up my hand against them. Nu Hashem alukim v'nasu avaynam. They will bear their sins. Pasuk Yud Gimel v'lo yikshu elai l'chayin li. Will not be able to come near to me to minister. V'lo geshes al kol kodoshai, and to come close to all of my holy things. El kodshei hakodoshim. V'nasu kelim asam. They will bear their shame. V'soya avaysam. Their abominations. Asher asu. They will now have to pay the price for their abominations and the shame that they are guilty of. Asher asu pasuk yudalav v'nasati asam shomer mishmeres habayis. This appears to be repetition that they're going to now only be guardians of the bayis l'chol avodasai u'l'chol asher ye'osabo, for all that takes place in the Beis Hamikdash and all that is done. They're only going to be a second fiddle. These Kohanim who are guilty of worshipping idols and leading people astray in the time of Golus are not going to be allowed to do the primary avodah of offering korbanos on the Mizbech. The only thing they can do is they'll be assistants. They'll stand guard. They'll be shomrim along the exits and entrances of the Beis Hamikdash. They will maybe clean. They'll do some janitorial work. They'll help out cleaning the korbanos, rinsing the korbanos, and assisting the other Kohanim who will be the ones that will actually offer the korbanos on the Mizbeach. So there's no free pass, and as we discussed yesterday, this is a very, very big, very difficult thing, very difficult to say over the generations and past generations, when there were situations where people were and the Sion to give up their life, Al Kiddush Hashem, and some did, some did not, and those that did not went astray at a later point in time. They wanted to be chayzer b'shuv and come back into the community, and of course they're accepted back into the community. But the big dilemma was, were they allowed to return and do the services that they were honored to do in the past, like even daven for the amud, to be a shliach tzibur on the yavim nayroyim, to blow shofar, to be a moil, to all the things that they had rights to in the past. Now that they went astray. And no one blames them for going astray, but the bottom line is they did go astray and others did not. And now when they wanted to come back, people were misnagged. It's not fair, zeloy fair, that these people who went and they were not oimid in the nesun that we were oimid in, they should be able to be reinstated and do have all the cover and glory of the past. On the other hand, if we deny them to come back into the community and give them full rights, they'll say, who needs this? We'll lose them all together. So where do you draw the balance? Where do you draw the balance? This is a very, very difficult decision. And obviously every situation is different. And something which the Gedolei Hadar always struggled and grappled with. Mm-hmm. And here we see in the Mamash a source for this idea. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can come back, but you're not coming back 100%.
But they left their lines, right?
Well, it's not discussed. This psukim do not mention here.
They did tshuva.
Okay, first of all, we have. It's not clear. Are we referring over here to the Bayis Sheni or referring to the Bayis Shlishi? We know that Yechezkel is speaking. So his hope is that the Bayis Sheni will be the Bayis Shlishi. What's going to be in 70 years or 50 years, whatever it was, from this point in time. From our perspective, we're referring to the Bayis Shlishi, what has yet to be built. It's not clear. No, but the people there, of course, they had to divorce their wives. Those who intermarry, that was a given. That was a given. They cannot come and do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash unless they divorce their wives. But it doesn't even mention divorce, intermarriage. Here it mentions avodah zara. It mentions gilulehem lemichshol avodah. These are things which simply are associated with avodah zara. Not in Rashi lo yesi a meshumot a koimer. We mentioned these things yesterday. The simple translation of the words refers here to avodah zarah. Let's see these psukim together.
Is there a difference between a Baal Tshuva,
yeah,
and non-religion? Someone who's religious became non-religious?
Yes, of course. A Baal Tshuva, someone who was never religious, usually it's called a Tinuk Shenishpach. In America, we you know, it's interesting, in America, someone who's not religious, is it's a given, it's not their fault. It's a Tinuk Shenishpach, like a baby that was captured.
Right.
And he doesn't know from anything. In Eretz Yisrael, people that are not religious, there's a big machlekes apeskim, what status they have. So many will say, the chilonim, you know, they're also in the category of tinuk shenishpach. But there are some apeskim, they take a very hard line, and they say they're not. They know quite a bit.
They deliberately, I don't know about that. I mean, the ignorance, according to a lot of reporting. The level of ignorance, and even the basics, even knowing what Shema Yisrael is among the younger generation, is incredible.
So you can't generalize.
No,
you can't. You can't. Everyone is different.
Many different groups.
Yeah.
And you see, there's a very, the older people, they know plenty. And I've had discussions with somebody who thought that his father was crazy. I said, the difference is, your father grew up with a frum father. He rebelled, but he knew what to do. You grew up with him as a father, so you don't know, because nobody taught you, but his father taught him. So your father's not crazy. He knew. He just decided to rebel.
You can't generalize. You really don't know.
You never generalize.
They were lahachasnik, not Jewish, so they didn't give him anything. There were no shoes in kibbutz, nothing. They didn't, you know, you asked them what Abdullah is, they don't know. They don't. Maybe they do know.
Okay, so you really can't generalize. Every situation is different. What?
So Baal Tshuva knew nothing. He's equal to everybody.
Yeah, he is.
But the other
people who knew and decided deliberately to go off. So there's a problem. There's a very big problem. What to do when you can do tshuva, but sometimes they come make demands. They want. See, the case that I'm referring to are some of the horror stories of the Crusades, and before, even before the Crusades, I think the worst stories were before the Crusades, where people were forced with shmat, and they converted. They converted to Christianity. They converted to whatever they did, and now then things got better, and they wanted to come back. And some of the people that converted were people that were very well respected in the community, who had shtelos. They had jobs. They blew shofar, down for the amud, they were moil, all the different chashuva things. And when they came back, they demanded, "I want to be reinstated." And the tzibor looks at them and says, "No, we don't want you. We don't want you back. You can come daven here in the shul." Some of them didn't even want them to daven in the shul. But you know, the most we'll do, you can come back. We'll give you an aliyah. But you're not davening musaf on Yom Kippur. Sorry. You're not going to duchen. We don't want you to duchen.
So they can have a second class.
Yeah. So they would say, if you're not going to take us back, you can't. You don't understand. We were terrorized. You can't understand. We were terrorized. So what do you want from us? We're an oynis. Oynis rachmana patre. So they say, yeah, we were also terrorized, but we were able somehow to survive. And if you're not going to take us back, so we're not going to do tshuva. We'll remain irreligious. Where do you draw the balance? So again, it's very, very, every situation. The thing in Eretz Yisrael, I was shocked to read it. I think it was Shlomo Zalman Arbach. So again, you're dealing with a different generation. Going back with you many, many years, you're going back, so they are different. Every situation is different. He took a hard line on some of these people. Obviously, he's dealing with a very unique group of people. You cannot at all, especially today, it's obviously everything is so different. Everything is, as everyone, there is so much. You can argue both ways. The whole Eretz Yisrael is a very religious country. You know about, you know. So why don't you inquire Adrabah, you force the other direction because of all the antagonism. I don't know, whatever it is, but it's a very complicated situation in every.
Someone said they don't miss Apple Carson like they used to.
You have to be a Baal Madrega to be not be Kairos. But you can't just, and someone who's not religious is a Kaifer, doesn't mean it's not what Chazal had in mind is not be Kairos. Not be Kairos is someone who is quite a Talmud Chacham. He knows Gan Shaf. What? Right, do it in spite. The mind is a very delicate thing. Some people you can get turned off. You serve Hashem your whole life, and then there's a disappointment, and it can trigger in a person's mind. You can't judge another person. It can trigger a very negative reaction to someone else. It's nothing, but to some people, every person is very different. Every person has triggers that cause them to do things that are very, very, very extreme, and to other people, it's hard to understand why they would go to the other side. You can't judge. Talk to a psychologist, talk to a psychiatrist, and they'll tell you that.
Madeleine Albright, right?
Why? Well, she was
Jewish.
She was Jewish.
She denied it, and when she faced it, I think she turned to the other side.
Wait. When she found out that she was Jewish, what did she do?
She didn't change.
I think she converted.
She converted.
The father.
All right, I mean, listen, everyone, we don't know. We don't understand. We really don't understand, and you can't judge. But you also have to be fair. You can't judge anyone. You can't judge everyone. Everyone is unique. You give everyone the benefit of the doubt. We don't want loyally day in the sun, valoyally day in the Zion. If we were in their situation, who knows, we would probably be a lot worse. Go, react in a much more negative way. But on the other hand, when they do come back, you have to be fair to the people who have been moiser nefesh their entire life to do things a certain way, and it's not fair that someone else should come and displace them. So it's a very difficult balance here. This is a very powerful source for these ideas. We have all these psukim which go into very great detail, describing the balance that Hashem is providing for these Kohanim. They'll be allowed to return and serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but not 100%. Their role will be limited. Let's see the Mepharshim.
But it could be referring to the Moranos now from the Latin America returning to Israel.
The Moranos...
From India and from Ethiopia.
It's very calm. So you're saying what it's referring to when Mashiach will come. But those people who are coming, who live now, they're certainly a Tinik Shanishba. You're dealing over here with generations. They're their great-great-great-grandparents. You're going back so many generations. So you can't hold the people today responsible for what happened 300 years ago. It's not fair. That's totally not fair. So how do you deal with it? I don't know. Are we referring over here to the people of Tchiyas HaNesim? They're going to come back to life? Are we dealing with people that are actually living? Yecheskel is referring to people in his lifetime. He's hoping there's going to be a Bayis Shlishi, and the Kohanim, but then in a few years, they're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and they're going to return. It's not clear, but the idea is still here. It's presented in a very powerful way. Let's read what it says in the Mepharshim. Pasuk Yud Beis, Yan. Yan Yud Beis in the Mitzudos David. Yan Bavur Sha'asu Avodah Sa'am Lefnei HaGiluim. Because that these Kohanim, they were the priests. They were the leaders of worshipping the idols. V'chshilu es Yisrael ba'avoyin avoydas kochavim. And they caused them to stumble. They helped out. They assisted the people in worshipping idols. Therefore Hashem says, Nasasi yodi, I raise up my hand. Hu inyin shavua. This means I swear. V'haramas yadayim l'mala. V'chein nasasi es yodi. This is an expression I swear. That these people will bear their sin; they will not be allowed to participate. This is their punishment. They will not be able to minister before me on the mizbeach.
It says raising one's hand is an act of
shavua. It's an expression. It's an expression.
Well, I mean, we see it today, right?
What?
When someone is raise your
right hand, and you put your hand in the Bible,
or political office.
Well, you put which hand do you put on the Bible, the right or the left? Which hand do you raise? Anyone know?
Raise your right hand.
Raise your right hand, and you put the left hand on the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
That's how it goes. So you think there's the opposite? Put the left hand on the right hand on the Bible, the little hush the hand on the Bible.
Case you lie.
And you put you raise your left hand. What's more important, to put your hand on the Bible or to raise your hand? I don't know. That's the minig. That's the minig umos ha'olam. But okay, who gets to hold the Bible? That's more important in our generation, right? But in any event,
what's in the Bible,
right? Whose Bible? Lincoln's Bible, or is it the Old Testament, the New, whatever? Okay.
You don't say that.
Lo they will not come close. Lo yikshu el kol hakadoshim loisuf al kodshe hakadoshim. So the way the Mitzudos learns is, not only will they not be allowed to offer kodshe kodoshim, they will not be allowed to offer kodshe kalim. Maybe you can make a compromise. You can say, listen, you kohanim, you were sinners. You did teshuva. Okay, we'll take you back. But we're going to limit you. You only can offer on the mizbech kodshe kalim. We're not going to let you offer on the mizbech kodshe kodoshim. So Hashem says, no, nothing. Not kodshe kalim in addition to kodshe kodoshim. Ritzen Leimar, lo yikshu el kol hakodoshim, noisuf al kodshe hakodoshim, kolaimar, lo levad asurim heim bavodes kodshe hakodoshim. Not only is it a given that you're not going to be allowed to offer kodshe hakodoshim, ki asurim heim, but in addition, ki asurim heim af bavodes kodshe kalim, the kohanim who have done teshuva are not going to be allowed to even offer the lighter kodashim, the kodashim kalim, the nasu, and thus yisbalu, they will bear kilima shame, haru'uyulahem, they deserve it, they deserve to suffer like this, ugimul toyavosam asher osu, for what they have done. Pasuk yudal, v'nosati, oitsam rak etin oitsam lios, mishomer mishmeres, habayboyis, they'll only be guardians, they can stand guard. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash, they were guards. Some of the guards were Kohanim, some were Levim. The Mishnah Masech Davidus tells us which guards, where the Kohanim stood, where Levim stood. Al kol ha'avoda hatzorech al ba'yis. They'll be ministers. Everything that's necessary. V'al kol davar hanasu ba'yis zulas avodas hamizbech, except for the mizbech. It's interesting that this fits very well. This entire theme fits very, very well with what we've learned before, because we've spent so much time at the beginning of this paragraph. Was devoted to the mizbech. Was devoted to the Chanukas ha-mizbech. And after we mention in detail what the mizbech looks like, and we then mention who's going to be able to come and offer korbanos on the mizbech as the representatives of Klal Yisrael, only people that are pure, only Kohanim that have never sinned. The Kohanim that have sinned and have worshipped idols are guilty. They are not going to be able to come near this Mizbeach. It's a continuation of the previous theme. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, L'michshol Avon, Koymorim, L'avoyda Zara, L'ham Shicham L'kach. These people were priests for Avoyda Zara to draw the common man. These Kohanim were guilty. They were leaders. They were mesis umediach. It wasn't that they themselves did our sins. They caused. Oh, that's always the worst thing in Chazal, when you cause someone else to do an avera. If you yourself do an avera, there's always hope. But when you cause someone else to do an avera, we always find this theme. The punishment is much, much more severe. Okay, that concludes Rashi. Okay, the Mamanasian, the Malbim is pretty, there's nothing really significant, at least very simply. Okay, that really concludes the section, so we're finished with this section. Now we go to a new section, prepare Pasuk Tezvav. Pasuk Tezvav should ring in your ears, because this is the Haftorah of Parashas Emor. I think we come out, we always lane this. The other Haftorah, the Haftetzaveh, we rarely lane. Okay, we read through not that long ago, on the Perek Mem Gimel was the description of the Mizbeach. That is Parshas Tetzaveh, and that Haftorah.
Zohar.
What?
Usually Zohar.
It's usually Zohar, and sometimes it's even Shkolim.
In a leap year,
you read it, but even in a leap year,
it
always comes out a leap year. Okay, but Parshas Tetzaveh, it's not that common that we read that Haftar, because it's usually Parashat Zohar, or it's even Parashat Shkolim sometimes. Was Parashat Shkolim? No, never?
Zohar it is.
Okay, Zohar. I think last year, wasn't last year Parashat Shkolim? I remember vaguely it was Parashat Shkolim last year.
mishpatim are true.
Okay, fine. So Parashas Zohar, it's not always but this after I think it's much more familiar to us because we always lay this. MR is not in the middle of anything. MR is always safe, smooth sailing MR, and we usually lay in Parashas this after. So now Yechezel goes on to say, who then will serve on the Mizbeach? Who are the good Koyhanim that have no stains of sin? They are the children of Tzadok. Tzadok was the first Kohen Gadol. You see, he's going back a full cycle. Yechezkel now is standing at the time after the Churban Bayis Rishon. He's hoping for the Bayis Sheni. Who will be the Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Sheni? Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is going to be, is that correct? Zerubbabel is going to be Wait, is that the Melech? I'm all confused already. What? That's the Melech. So who is the Kohen Gadol? It was not. So I forgot. Whoever it was. Okay. Yoshua Kohen Gadol.
Could be the first one.
The Bayis Sheni.
Yeah.
The Bayis Sheni. Okay. So Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Okay, so who is Tzadok? Tzadok was the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol of the Bayis Rishon, going back 400 years. 410 years, maybe even more, because now it's already 14 years in, so 424 years, whatever it is, but it's more than 400 years ago, was a person by the name of Tzadok, and he was the Kohen Gadol. And Yechezkel is saying that it's his children, his descendants, are going to be the Kohanim in the Bayis Sheni, or from our perspective, the Bayis Shlishi, because this family of Kohanim never went astray. They always held to the Messiah. They're not guilty. There's no guilt in this family. Therefore, they are going to be the ones who are going to be able to offer korbanos on the Mizbeach. I guess we have to wait for Bizman Hazeh. I guess that time, talking about Bayis Sheni, I guess they knew who they were. But today, obviously, we don't even know anything. We don't know nothing today. So obviously, we need Eliyahu HaNavi to Megale who is who. Or some DNA, high-tech DNA test.
That's the Gemara in Kedushin, low ions over there. He said that the Gemara asked about all these things and says we're going to have to wait for Eliyahu.
Eliyahu to be Megale, all the secrets. The Akoyanim Halavim. Now here is this is the classic Chazal.
Sorry, Yosin Olamibovel.
The Akoyanim who are from Shevet Levi. Okay, Akoyanim who come from Shevet Levi, Bnei Tzadok, Asher Shamu, they were sincere, they stayed the course. Asher Shamu, they guarded Mishmeres Mikdashi, the watching of my holy place. At the time, Bisos Bnei Yisrael Me'olai, at the time when the Jewish people, they went astray. The word, we had this word yesterday, Bisos. We usually have the word the test, toos. Toos means a mistake, but over here with a saf.
No, but also, also means.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Means to wander.
To wander. They wandered, Bisos Bnei Yisrael Me'olai, when they went astray, when they wandered Me'olai, they always were faithful. They were faithful to me at this point in time. Heima they. Yikrivu Eli, they will come near to me, Lashar Sin, to minister to me, the Amdu Lafanai, they will stay before me, Lahakrav Li. They are the ones that will go on the Mizbeach to offer before me the Chelev Adam, the Hashem Elohim, so says Hashem Elohim. Let's see this one pasuk at a time. Pasuk test Vav in the Mitsudos David, HaKayanim HaLevim Aval, in contrast to the Kohanim who have been unfaithful, Aval HaKohanim Mibnei Levi from the Shevet Levi, Mizera Tzadok, Sheshimesh Bimei Shloimoi. He was the first Kohen Gadol in the time when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Shamru, they Gavuloi Zazu Miavoidas Hamokah Bizman Shetob Nei Yisrael. It's a very big Nisayon. It wasn't popular. When everyone in Klal Yisrael is worshiping idols, and they are faithful, they are going to be the ones who are deserving to do the avoid the Rashi pasuk tezva v'akayim halavim b'nei tzadik asher shamu mishevet Levi. Rashi clarifies mishevet Levi. If you have that in your edition, I have one edition.
Mishevet Levi b'nei can also mean to those kohanim who serve. So he is clarifying
who they are. They are from shevet Levi b'nei tzadik asher hem mizera tzadik. lefi shahaya kain gadol shishimish rishain b'mikdash b'mei shloimo nikru al shmodif. That's what we refer to these kohanim by his name. Bisois, you have a translation of the word bisois. What that word is?
Kan il erayon, when they strayed.
When they strayed. Okay, now you look. If you look over here in you don't have this. The Gemara in Masechta Yevamos and Chulin and Bechayos and Tamid and the Yerushalmi all say the same thing. And this is the primary psukim. Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi the Esrim the Arba'a Mikaymos Nikru Koyhanim Levim. In 24 places in Tanakh, Koyhanim are called Levim. And the example that the Gemara cites to give, you know, there are 24 places, so you can give any one of 24 examples. Which example did the Gemara cite to illustrate this point? It's this pasuk that we've just learned. Okay, so it's interesting. It's a very common idea that it says Levi, and who is Levi? When it says Levi, who is Levi referring to? It, sometimes in Tanakh, when it says Leviim, it refers to Kohanim. I think one of the most important examples was the carrying of the Aron. Without going into any details, because I don't remember them, that there's a topic: who are the ones that are honored with carrying the Aron HaKodesh when Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar?
That's the
whole issue. So that's the problem. The problem is that it was originally given to the Levim. The Levim were the ones that were given the instructions to carry, and then we find elsewhere that it was carried by Kohanim. So was it Levim? Was it Kohanim? So some say they ran out of Levim. Levim, they were killed, because when you carry the Aron, if you're not in a very high spiritual level, the Aron can cause the person to die. Rachman Litzlan. So the Levim, they shied away. Many Levim died in this service, so they shied away. There was a shortage. So who then did they give it to carry? Who was willing to take the risk? The Kohanim. So is that ideal? Was that only a Bidi'evet? Maybe it's Lechatchila. So there are contradictions in the Psukim. In some places it says Kohanim, some places it says Levim. And one of the common, the answer the Gemara gives is, they're interchangeable. Because Kohanim are called Levim. So even though it says that the Levim carried it, it doesn't necessarily mean Levim. It means Kohanim are also allowed to carry the arms. That's one of the primary. And how do you know that you can call a Kohen a Levi? Because in 24 places in Tanakh, Kohanim are called Levim. Now there is also a very interesting topic of discussion. Is okay, very nice. People who are Baki in Tanakh, those who take the Chidun HaTanakh, you ask them if you know Gantz Tanakh, you've scored a perfect score on the Chidun HaTanakh. Tell me exactly the 24 places in Tanakh where Kohanim are called Levim. And that person is going to be in a lot of trouble. Because if he knows too much, he's going to find there are many more than there are more than 24, or there are not enough. I don't even remember it. I don't remember this. It's very problematic to find the 24 places. And Rav David Cohn, Shlita, from here, from Gvul Yavetz, from Coney Island Avenue, he has in one of his Svarim a very fascinating analysis. He's a Baki in Tanakh, a Baki Muflik in Tanakh, Rav David Cohn, and he has a very fascinating analysis of all the places, all the candidates, all the possible psukim in Tanakh that mentions Kohanim and Levim, and which of those candidates qualified to be listed from the 24. Because I think the problem is there's more than 24. There are more than 24, so what then does the Gemara mean that Kohanim are called Levim in 24? The Gemara is giving you a number, it's teaching you something, it's teaching you a lesson. So what exactly does it mean? So he has pages and pages on this to explain what exactly this Gemara means. If you know the whole Tanakh, you have to really, you know, it's something to work with.
How about the number 24?
Oh, so why the number? What's the number 24? So the number 24 is obviously a very significant number. As we know, there are 24 mishmaros of Kohanim. And what? The 24 manas kahuna. And there are 24 mishmaros. And we also learned last week is that the mizbeach is described as having the dimensions of 24. And what does it mean? What it means from the center. From the center towards the gvul is 24, which is 28. The entire top surface of the mizbeach is 40 It's 12. It's from the center, it's 12, which gives us a total of 24 by 24, not including the Amah where the Kohanim walk, and not including the Amah of the Kronos. So the Mekoyim HaMarocha, the place where the Kohanim put the carbon on the Mizbeach, has surface of the Marocha is 24 by 24, described by the Pasuk as 12 by 12, 12 from the center. So you see, again, the number 24 again is very significant. The number 24, every time you talk about Kohanim, you're always talking about the number 24. 24 Mishmarois, and even more, they lived in 24 cities. On Tisha B'Av, there is the Kina, where we mention the name of the 24 cities. Not just that there were 24 mishmaros of Kohanim, each mishmar had their own city.
Family.
They didn't mingle. Each mishmar lived in their own private city. They didn't mingle with another city. They didn't do one Kohanim all over the world. He called up for miluim, and everyone comes. A whole city went up. To do their avodah. So obviously the number 24 is a very significant number when it comes to Kohanim. Here's another part of that equation. Just to go off the beaten track, where else do you have a parallel of this idea when it says something many, many times? And it's very confusing. That is in regard to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us that Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned in the Torah 50 times. 50 times. The problem is, it's mentioned more than 50 times. It's mentioned more. So if it's mentioned more, which mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim qualifies as a candidate for what Chazal mean 50 times? So again, it's a similar idea. HaKohanim HaLevim is mentioned, this idea is 24 times, 50 times. You have to figure out where it's mentioned. Before we go further, there's one thing I want to tell you actually yesterday. I'm going to show you this idea. Back in Parshas Shmos, Parshas Shmos, Lech Lecha. When Avraham, Lech Lecha is Vayera. When Avraham came to Avimelech, and he said to his wife, Sarah, you're my sister. You're my sister, make no mistake about it. And when they go and they see you, you tell them that you're my sister so they don't kill me. So it's Parashas Vayera, after the story of Sodom. Let me turn to the page. Right, okay. 22, Vashem Pakar es Sarah. Wait, after Vashem? Before that. So before that, it's part of Vayisad Mishamir. I got it. Okay, Perik Chaf, Perik 20. Chaf. So here we go. Vayisa Misham Avraham. Okay, Vayomer Avraham el Sarah Yishtoi Achoisi Hi. You are my sister. See, this, by the way, this is not like in Parashas Lech Lecha. There he said to her, Imri No. He asked her, you do the talking. You do the talking. Here Avraham says, you're not doing any talking this time. I'm doing the talking. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You are my sister. The obvious question is, why did Avraham make the same mistake twice? Okay, that's the hilly between a wise man and a fool. Everyone makes mistakes in life. The only difference is, do you repeat your mistakes? The wise man does not repeat his mistakes, so why did Avraham try the same trick twice when it did not work out well the first time? The reason why he felt it did not work out well the first time was because the first time he said to Imri No. You, when we come there, you're the good one that's going to talk. And I'm asking you if you want to, yeah, you want, maybe, yeah, maybe not. He gave her, when they came, Mitzrayim was the place where women had rights. So women get to speak. When they came to the Plishtim there, women had no rights. So Avraham was the one who did the talking. Avraham said about his wife, Vayomer Avraham el Sarah, Ishtoi, his wife, Achoisihi. You are my wife. Whether you're my brother, you're my sister. I'm your brother, whether you like it or not. Fine, that's not the point I want to make. Let's go further. Then the whole story unveils. And then what happens? Vayomer Avraham ki amarti. The reason why I lied was because Rak, Ein Yiras Lakim Mokoy Mazeda Harguni al Dvar Yishti. Now we come to Nevagam Om Na. And also, the truth is, Amna, Lashon of MS. The word Amna is almost the same as with MS. The truth is, Achoisi, she is my sister. She is my niece. And a niece is the daughter of my brother. Bas avihi, achle bas imi, vatihi lili isha, whatever that means. And here is what I wanted to discuss with you based upon what we just learned. Pasuk Yud Gimel, vayihi kasher hisu osi. Elokim mi beis avi. It was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused me to stray. Mi beis avi. Vo'imar lo, I said to her, Zechastech asher ta'asi imadi el kol ha'makom asher nevo shama imrili achihu. Now how do you translate these words? We just learned here in this Pasuk, Pasuk Tezvav, we learned that it says, Bis'os, the same word. Pasuk Tezvav, Ha'akadim ha'levi b'nei tzedek asher shamu es mishmeres mikdashi bis'os b'nei Yisrael mi'olai. When the Jewish people strayed, here it says Vayikasher Hisu. It's the same word. The same word. Sof Ayin Vav.
You have it again in Vayikasher.
Vatesah. Okay. So it still means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu influenced me to Lech Lecha. Hashem influenced me to move, to stray, to move from one location to another location. That's what it simply means. It's a physical relocation. Here it's been used as a spiritual relocation. When people went off the derech, they went off the path of spirituality. But what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Rashi in Pasuk Gimel says a whole new pshat. He takes the pasuk out of context. Ungulus tirgem masha tirgem. The first thing Rashi says is, Ungulus translated this pasuk masha tirgem. The way he chose to translate this is unique. Rashi never ever says such a line, such an expression. Ungulus translated this pasuk masha tirgem based upon what he translated. Okay, let's hold that thought for one moment. Then Rashi goes on to say, "V'yesh liyashiv oid davar divar dibur al oifanov, based upon its what's a good word for oifanov? Based upon its context. The context. What's the context? He goes on to explain, "Kishachitzi ani hakadosh baruch hu mibeis avi." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me out of my father's home, it was from Aram Naharayim, Lech Lecha Lihiyos Mishaitet V'nod. Rashi is translating the word Hisu to mean to relocate, to move or to wander. To wander, Mimokom L'mokom, Yodati I knew, She'evor B'mokom Rishoim, I knew that I would come in contact with the wicked people, and thus I told my wife, we have to plan, we have to have a plan of action. The plan of action is you're going to say that you are my sister. So Rashi says, Al Oifanov, based upon the context of this pasuk, the word Hisu means to wander. Misnoideid vonod. When we were told by Hashem to wander from our home, to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to pass through many lands to get to our final destination, so I told my wife, this is the plan of action. So now that means a physical relocation, a physical wandering throughout the world. And that does not fit well with what it says here in Pasuk Tes Vav, in what we've just learned. In our Pasuk it says here, Bis'ois b'nei Yisrael me'olai. It does not mean a physical wandering. It means to stray spiritually, to wander in the spiritual world. Instead of being steadfast in your service of Hashem, you experiment with this idol, that idol, so it has a different usage of the word. But now let's go back to the Targum. And the Targum indeed is consistent with what it says over here in Sefer Yecheskel. The Targum says, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hava and it was, Kad when, look at this, To'u, Anamaya, when they erred. He does not translate the word hisu to mean wander, but he translates it to mean to make a mistake. And thus he substitutes a tes for a tov. Okay, these two letters sometimes are interchangeable, especially when you're going from Hebrew to Aramaic. They made, when the world, the whole wide world, they made a major error. What was the error? That there's no God. There's no Ribbono Shel Olam. there are other gods. Kasher tahu amemaya basar ovadei yidehon, after idols, the creation of their hands, yossi, look at this, amazing, yossi me kariv Hashem lidachalte, Hashem brought me close to fear him, mi beis Abba, from my father's home. At that moment in time, Vamodisle, I told my wife, this is the favor you're going to do for me. You're going to tell everyone that you are my sister. So now we go back to the pasuk and read the pasuk again. Vayi was kasher hisu kama. It's amazing what Rashi, what Targum does. The trup, let me just explain to you, you don't have it from part of the pasuk in front of you, but the trup here in this pasuk is hisu osi is a munach rivi'i. A munach rivi'i means the two words go together. So you cannot put a comma between the word hisu osi. Vayi was kasher when. His uoc, according to the simple reading, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his uoc, those two words we translate together, caused me to wander. Mishaitet v'node. When Hashem caused me to wander. Do not break up those two words. Who caused me to wander? Elokim, Yibesavi. I told my wife, we're in trouble, you better go and say that you are my sister. The Targum says, ignore the trop, ignore the Tamei HaMikra, put a comma after the word hisu, before the word osi, and translate the pasuk as follows. Vahinu was kasher when hisu, period. It was when the whole world made a big mistake. The whole world made a major, major mistake and they began to worship idols. Comma. What happened at that point in time? Osi, me, Elokim, mi beisavi, comma. You take those four words, Satagam translates, Osi, Elokim, mi beisavi. Don't translate them in order, translate them backwards. Elokim, the Ribbono shel Olam, drew me to him. Elokim, Osi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, he drew me towards him to fear him. When I was still living in the home of my father, at that moment in time, I told my wife, you know, now that I recognize as Ribbono shel Olam, I fear Hashem, and the whole world does not fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rak, that fits very well into the pasuk before, Rak, in Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh, there is no fear of God in this world. B'makom hazeh, according to the Targum, seems to me not just in the land of the Plishtim. It means b'makom hazeh in this whole wide world. The whole wide world, there's no fear of God, and that's going to lead to a problem when people see you, they're going to kill me and try to take you away for themselves. So I told my wife, you have to say, wherever we go, that you are my sister. So he is translating the word hisu, the Targum to mean, make a mistake, and it's a spiritual mistake. That fits perfectly into the Pshutoi Shol Mikra here in Sefer Yecheskel, where it says, Asher Shamus Vishmeris Mikdashi Bisaos Bnei Yisrael Meolai. When the Jewish people made major mistakes, they made major mistakes in worshipping idols and removing themselves from me. Instead of translating the word simple translations, when they wandered, it can mean that also here in this context a spiritual wandering, but also means they made a mistake, and the mistake they made was they distanced themselves from me, they abandoned me. Okay, that's just I want to point out. Now, by the way, there's a beautiful, beautiful drush, one of the most amazing drushim on this Rashi. Rashi says, "Unkelis tirgame masha tirgame." What does that mean? Unkelis was a ger. Unkelis, he in his own life, his whole life was an example of what he himself translated the pasuk. Unkelis tirgame. Unkelis translated into his own personal life masha tirgame, the way he translated this pasuk. Unkelis realized the whole world is making a big mistake. Unkelis came from Rome. Unkelis was one of the Roman soldiers. He was from Rome. Where he lived, he saw that the whole world was making a big mistake. So what did he do? He recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was drawing him near. And he abandoned his secular world to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unkelis Tirgim. He incorporated into his own life Masha Tirgim, the way he translated this pasuk. He translated this pasuk describing that Avraham Avinu recognized the world's making a mistake and he should come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw the calling of Hashem. Unkelis likewise was a minor Avraham Avinu. He saw the mistake the whole world was making and he abandoned and he came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he heard the calling of Hashem. Unkelis Tirgim, Ma She Tirgim.
He personalized it.
What? He personalized it, right. It's a beautiful, it's an expression to personalize. Every time you want to go see that person, you can use this expression. Tirgim, Ma She Tirgim. He personalized what he, if you have a rabbi that believes in what he says, so you practice what you preach, then it's Tirgim, Ma She Tirgim. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is pasuk Tezayin, Hema. So referring back to the descendants of Bnei Tzadik, Hema they yavo el mikdashi, they will come close, they will come near my mikdashi. Vehema yikruvu el shulchani, they will come near my table. Lishar seni. Now what is the table? I guess it refers to eating the korbanos. Veshamru and they will guard us mishmarti, they will guard my watching. Pasuk Tezayin v'hoye b'voyim el shar hechatzer pnimis. Now we're going to describe the clothing. When they come to the gates of the Chatzar Pnimis, Bigdei Fishtim Yilbashu, they will wear linen garments. V'lo Yaleh Alehem Tzemer, they will now wear wool. B'shar Sam, when they minister B'sharei Chatzar Pnimis, inside the inner gate, Uvavoysan inwards, from the inner gate, and from the gate and inward, they will not wear wool. Momo Pasik, Parei Pishtim Yiyu Al Roisham, they will wear hats from linen. Umichnasei fishtim and pants. Michnasai means the pants of linen. Yihyu al mosnehem lo yachgiru bayaza. They should not gird themselves with the avnate bayaza in a way that causes them to sweat. Meaning that the gartel, the avnate, should not be too high, not be too low. If it's too high, it's near the elbow, it will cause sweat. And if it's too low, it's near the erva, and will cause sweat. It has to be just right, in the right position, in between the elbows, in between the erva, the elbows and the erva. We'll see in the farsh in more detail. Let's see these. So a lot of chidushim.
They had the shatnes.
Exactly. That's exactly what the pasuk is coming to teach. Right. That lavo, they can have different big day kahuna. Exactly. That's exactly the chidush of what the pasuk is teaching us.
Problems in the parsha. They will.
Let's see first in the Mitzvot Asot, very similar to the Pasuk Tezayin. There's very, very interesting things that are going on over here. Pasuk Tezayin, El Shulchani Lishar Seni. It says, Sidu Lechem Apanim Shalash Shulchan. Amazing. So here we're teaching us that who will, that all the same way that only these Kohanim, the Bnei Tzadik, who did not stray, are going to bring Korbanos on the Mizbeach, it is only they who have rights to be Mesader the Shulchan. To Mesader the Shulchan with the Lechem Apanim. And that's what it means, shulchani. The shulchan doesn't mean, I thought it meant eating, the eating of the korbanos. No, it's referring to the lechem upon him.
So all the mishmaros were denied access to the shulchan?
Yes, what it seems. That's what it seems. It seems that only ones that can actually do this had to be from Bnei Tzadik. So it was Bnei Tzadik divided into subdivided into the 24 mishmaros? I don't know, it's not clear. But only they are going to be permitted to bring the mizbeach and to offer on the shulchan. Vishamu b'cholder havayda pasuk yedzayin v'hoya return alayma b'yom kippurim b'kishuyavu hakayhan magadolim. Now the mitzvah is learning. He doesn't want to get into controversy. Does not want to get into controversy. So he's doing something very deliberate, and we only can appreciate what the mitzvah is doing after we're going to see the Malbim. So let's just try to see what it says first, and keep what he says in mind. Return alayma pasuk yedzayin is this not describing a kohen hedyot. Pasuk Yitzayin, even though it's written B'loshon Rabim, it's describing all of the future Koyhanim HaGedoylim. When they will come, return Lema, B'yom HaKippurim, K'sheyavohu HaKoyhanim HaGedoylim, El Sharei Chatz HaPnimis, V'hu HaHeichol. And he's translating Chatz HaPnimis off the beaten track, does not mean inside the Azara, which is called the Chatzar HaPnimis. He's saying the Chatzar HaPnimis is an unusual way to translate these words. It's not consistent with the way it's been used the last perek. It means in the Heichol, Hu HaHeichol, Ulu Umas Kodesh HaKadosh Nikri Chatzar. It's still called the Chatzar because there is still another chamber that's within. The Kodesh HaKadosh is all the way inside. Anything on the outside is called the Chotzer relative to that, but it's called Penimi relative to the Azara, which is Chitzain. Since there was the Shar Gadol, the two different side entrances, the reason why we say Peloshon Rabim, gates, because there are really three entrances into the Heichel. We discussed yesterday in detail. Big day pishtim him big day halavan she koyin gadol mishtamesh b'chem b'yom kippurim avoidas pinim. The koyin gadol, when he goes lefnayav lefnim, he wears only big day lavan. V'lo yale aleim tzemer, he will not wear wool. Ki b'pnim lo yasu avoide b'shmoyne b'gadim she yesh from tzemer. Why not? Ein kategor nase sanega, because they worship the idols. And what's very disturbing, if we're referring to the geula hasida. So at that point in time, there's a tikkun for the chet eitz, the chet of the eagle. There's no longer any kategor. L'chayre, you ask the average person, they would assume that when Mashiach comes, we have achieved the level of Adam Harish and Kayit Machet. There's no longer any more kategor. We're clean slate. So there's no longer kategor. No longer kategor. The Kohen Gadol should be allowed to be avoided l'fnayv l'fnim, wearing the big day zahav. The Mitzuda says that's not the way it's going to work. There's always going to be some residual reminder of Ein Kateg, or maybe there are other reasons, whatever it is, they're still only going to wear the Beit Lavan, Vo Voisa, Ubifnim Bechalal Habayis, and inward, meaning not just in the Heichel, but even in the Kodesh HaKodashim, Bein Beheichel, Bein Beis Kodesh HaKodashim. Next, Yudches, Pari Pishtim, Migbaos, Mi Pishtim Yiyeh Al Roisham, the hats are made only from linen, Lo Yachiru Bayoza, Lo yachgiru avnei tehem, the avnates, the belt, shall not be girded b'mokem shabosun nichbon, the place where there is flesh on flesh. Where is there flesh on flesh? The top part, anything above the elbow. Anything above the elbow is where basar is touching basar. When you put your hands down, basar is touching basar. Or your legs, the area of the legs, and that area of the erva, there's basar. When the two legs come together, toward that the groin area, the legs are touching each other. When basar touches basar, it causes sweat. The makayim shabasar nichbal v'shechev kitzasei al kitzasei kisham rav hazeya umislachlechin bigdei kahuna, and it causes the bigdei kahuna to get dirty, to get soiled. So the belt should not be too low, should not be too high. Has to be in between the elbows and the groin before the legs, they come together.
So what gets destroyed? The pants get destroyed. And
the belt gets destroyed. The belt is above the elbow. So the belt is in an area where there's sweat, and that sweat
and
will get
below,
absorbed into the belt.
Below.
It's below. Also, it's below. It's on the hip. If you put the belt on the hip, what? It doesn't matter. Even though it is above the pants, it's above the pants. Still, the pants obviously can't help. It seems that we can. That nothing you can do about. You can nothing you can do about the fact that the pants are on over your hips. That. But don't add. Additionally, don't add another garment that does not have to be there. There's going to be sweat that's going to seep through the garment because of that area, and it's going to be absorbed also into the belt. If it's not necessary,
we have to change the pants and the shirt anyway when they get absorbed. They're going to get dirty. Mm-hmm.
Correct. That's correct.
So
but do not add more. Do not add more if it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. Whatever you can avoid,
so
you can avoid.
You have an avnate for life.
No, obviously they change. The Gemara says that the clothing were replaced every so often. They don't wear it for life.
The shirts were changed much more often.
Obviously, the shirts, the upper garment, and the pants would change more often. But the belt is not. If the belt is not,
you got to figure this out. They only worked 1 week.
Correct
for the mishmeres.
Yes.
The rest of the time, unless they came to be
voluntary. Right, only 1 week, right. So does that mean everyone in their own private big kahuna? Or they shared it. It was just a uniform in the base time village. When you come,
this is the Kehanim Gedolim you're talking about?
This is the Kohen Gedolim, yeah. This, okay. This, according to the Mitzudos, this is the Kohen Gadol.
So when are we talking?
Once a year. You're right. I don't know the answer. You get dirty once a year, so what's the problem?
Right.
I don't know the answer. You're right. I don't know the answer.
Dirty. He did a lot of work that day.
That day he did a lot of work, so he's going to sweat.
But he also had to change it every time he gained weight, lost weight, got taller, shorter, whatever.
But even on that one day, got taller and got shorter, even on that one day, we don't want him to sweat. You're asking very good questions. I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer, but there's a hakpada according to the Mitzudah stuff, the Kohen Gadol who did avoda on that one day, when he did the avoda, even for a few moments, there should not be additional sweat that gets absorbed into the belt. Why? But anyway, the sweat's going to be absorbed into the pants and into the shirt. Maybe there's something unique about the belt that's more chashuv, that's more significant, that we want to protect the belt more than the other garments. I don't know. I tell you, I don't know the answer. That's what it's in the pasuk. Lo yachu avneitim b'makom shabos nichpal loshech v'alkzav v'alkzav kishlam rav hazeil mislach lachem bigdei hakuna. Pasuk, that is, pasuk, that's okay. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says, pasuk, Yud Zayin, El Shari Chotz Apnimis. Rashi is in agreement so far with the Mesudos, Lefnai v'lefnim. We're dealing with the Kohen Gadol. Pasuk Yizayin is the Kohen Gadol. Lo yale aleim tzemer techele shahoye b'mil uve avnet lo yil b'shen v'mekipurim b'avod aspenim. Oh, so it says over here, now he says something very shocking. Something that is very, very shocking, Rashi, is that the Kohen Gadol, he doesn't wear the me'il, that we know. We know he does not wear the me'il. And he should not wear uve avnet lo yil b'shen. Should not wear the belt at all. The avnet of the Kohen Gadol, according to Rashi, appears to have shatnes. There's machlokes in the Gemara that the avnet, there's a difference between the belt of the Kohen Gadol and the belt of a Kohen Hedyot. There are different diukim in the pasuk. I don't remember the details. The diukim, did the belt of the Kohen Gadol, was it also made from strands of wool? Shatnes. There was wool and linen. Rashi, from his words alone, you could imply, and it seems to imply many chidushim. Number one, that the belt of the Kohen Gadol included wool. And Rashi says that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen only wears three garments. That's what it says. Over avnet lo yil b'shenu, and in the avnet he should not wear it. B'yom ha-kippurim b'avoid ha-aspim. So maybe Rashi means that don't have the tcheles in the avnet. The avnet of Yom Kippur, a special avnet. The Adar of Yom Kippur should only include linen, should not include wool. Or maybe Rashi means, don't wear the Adar altogether. That's what the Pasuk is telling you. And it's teaching of the Kohen Gadol, when he goes to the Fnival of Yom Kippur, when the Bayan Shlishi will only wear three garments. Is that what Rashi means to say? Very unlikely. But I don't know how to read it. It's very mysterious what Rashi means here. V'voisa v'lefnim yudches ufa pare. Pare means a hat. We have a translation for this French word.
Yeah.
Pare.
What? Pare. Pasuk Yudches.
I'm Yudches. Oh, that's the second one. There are two of them. The first one is Unlas Suor, and whatever causes sweat. The second one is Shahelah.
No, the first one. The right away, beginning of Pasuk 18. First, for Pare, the first word. You don't have the first word?
We have it Kapalish.
Kapalish?
No, that's the second one.
Kapalish is a hat.
A couple.
So it's a couple. You don't put the belt in the place where they sweat. Lo lamal lo me'atzile him, not above the elbows. V'lo lamata mi mosne him, not below the hip, the loin. We don't do that anyway. We put on a belt. Who puts a belt? You see people wear the belt very low. They're very low. Some people they wear very low. No one wears it that low. I know it was a belt that low, but I don't know. That's what it says. V'lo lamata mi mosne him. Mamish, that low? So low? So low? Shumokim zeya. Okay, it's this place of sweat. Loshen acher. Osra hatar lakoyhanim albushi hatzem. Now he has another pshat. He's teaching you about not the Kohanim HaGedolim. Osra hatoyro lakohanim malbushe hatzemer. Ki atzemer mazia haguf umazia esabosar. The Torah is coming to prohibit. Now, why saying the Torah lakoyhanim? Koyhanim are not allowed to wear malbushei atzemer. They should never wear tzemer, ki atzemer mazia tzemer causes the body to sweat, mazia aguf, umazia es habosar, and it causes the basar to sweat. So what does this mean exactly? That koyhanim in general, their whole life, are never allowed to wear osra ha-toyer la-koyhanim malbushei hatzemer, ki atzemer mazia aguf, mazia es habosar. I don't know what this means. I really...
Koyhanim... We describe what the materials were, and they become thankful.
I don't know. It's mysterious what Rashi means here in the second Lashon. Now let's just see quickly what it says in the Malbim. The Malbim over here says something very, very fascinating. The Malbim, the Radak also says something very similar as we should read the Malbim. Malbim pasuk yud yud zayim and yiches hoy bevoy bebig day pishim yubashu shayu big dayim kulam mibad bein akasoyne shal ze omar big day pishim yubashu bein hamigbaos the hat pare pishim yu bein hamichnasayim the gamo avnet lo yimot se boit semer hamacham mazi es aguf v'al ze omar. The Malbim says, "V'loyachu bayoza, the belt should not have any wool, because if the belt has wool, it will cause the koyhanim to sweat."
So there was no shanis.
Right. No. Normally there was shanis, because normally that's an exception. That shanis was permitted in the Big Day Kahuna, but here it says, "Now v'hine." Here we go. Let's read what it says over here. V'hine, lefima dekaymolon lahalacha. We accept la halacha. There are many opinions regarding this matter. This is sugi in the Gemara. There are many. That's why saying la halacha. What is the bottom line? Sha'avnei shel koyin hediyot hoya shel kilayim in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, the Beis Rishon Bayisheni. The avnei indeed was made from shatnes, which means it had wool. The hoya mishuna min avnei shel koyin gadol b'yom Kippurim shoya shel butz. On Yom Kippurim, when the koyin goes lefnai v'lefnim. The avnet of the Kohen Gadol was only made from linen, a different type of belt, when he went in Lefnai V'Lefnim. That's really what Rashi said in his first interpretation. Or what Mitzudas says, is that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol was made only from linen. Hoi di'oi, it's teaching us here a shocking chiddush. Shel osid in the future, the Bayis Shlishi, yis'alu ha-koyhanim b'nei tzadoik, the ordinary Kohen, is going to be elevated to the stature of a Kohen Gadol. Isn't that amazing? Every ordinary Kohen Hedi will have the same stature of a Kohen Gadol.
Or only B'nai Tzadok.
Only B'nai Tzadok. Yis'alu ha-kayan B'nai Tzadok liyos lechem b'ktsas devorim chashivu shel ha-Kohen Gadol. With regard to what? Ki yiyu ki mutsoim. They'll be in the middle. Mutsa means somewhere in the middle. Bein madregas ha-Kohen Gadol Ubein Madrega Sakoin Hedyot. Add to the degree is this manifested in the fact Atsha Big Day Hem Yu Shall Boots Ki Big Day Koin Godol Beish Nichmas Lufnai Vulufnim. That their belt will always be pure linen. Just like the belt of the Kohen Gadol when he goes, Lefnai V'Lefnim is linen, which means when the Kohen Gadol, the whole year round, when he's not in Lefnai, he wears a belt of shatnes. But when he goes, Lefnai V'Lefnim, only linen. So the belt of the Kohen Hegid on an ordinary day, a Monday, Thursday, is made from linen only, just like the belt of the Kohen Gadol that goes Lefnai V'Lefnim. Ulaman the Yaman, and he tells us the Gemara that says that Sha'avne Shal Kohen Hegid, Hoya, Shal Boots. Even though, let's the way around, the belt of the Kohen Hedi was always, the whole year round, the whole was always made from linen only, then what is the pasuk teaching us? Mashmi'enu behepuch. It's teaching us just the opposite. Sha'av shemiksas tevarim yalu limadregas ha-Kohen Gadol. Even though that later on, and this we're going to see later on, that later on in the next pasuk we're going to learn other examples. Other examples of where the ordinary Kohen Hed is elevated to the stature of the Kohen Gadol, Zedafgir lahachmir al atzman badavar, kumo with regard to spoyres ben el osa, with regard to a haircut, ulakachas besula, but velo lishanois es mitzvahs habagodim mibutz leklayim. Because there's another opinion in the Gemara that says just the opposite, that the Kohen Gadol's avnate was shatnez, at least was shatnez during the week. was at least Shatnez during when he did not go into the Kodesh HaKodashim was L'Shatnez, and the Kohen Hedyot's Avnet was only pure linen. So now we're going to see in the next few psukim that when Mashiach comes in the Bayis Shlishi, we're going to elevate the ordinary Kohen to the Madrega in respect to a few details to the Kohen Gadol. So you may be misled to believe that now at this Tukufa, the Kohen Hedyot will be permitted to wear a belt of Shatnez. Just like the Kohen Gadol wears a belt of Shatnez during when he's not going Lifnai V'Lifnim, a Kohen Hedyot also should now be elevated to wear a belt of Shatnez. Even though until now, a Kohen Hedyot, according to this Man Yama, only wore a belt of pure linen. But now in this Tekufa, he'll be permitted to wear a belt of Shatnez. That's what we may think, because the haircut's going to be the same. They're not going to be allowed to marry an Almana. Until now, a Kohen Hedyot can marry an Almana. What? So we would think that elevated. So the Pasuk is telling, don't get carried away. The Kohen Hedyot should not get carried away. They're still at this time not permitted to wear a belt of Shatnez. They have to wear a belt, an ordinary belt of linen. That's what is teaching us. That is what is teaching us here in this Pasuk. So two mahalchim. The mahalchim are fascinating. He's teaching us this new yesoid. He's teaching us that we're dealing here with a Kohen Hedyot, not a Kohen Gadol. We're discussing what's going to be La'asilavo, that the Kohen Hedyot is indeed going to be partially like a Kohen Gadol. And according to one interpretation, this means the belt. They're going to wear the same belt. Until now, they've always worn a belt of Shatnez, no more. Now they're only going to wear a belt that's only linen, like the Kohen Gadol of Naiva Lefnim. Or if you learn that until now they only wore a belt of linen, and the Kohen Gadol wears the belt of Shatnez, so it's telling you, don't get carried away. Even though it's true that you will be a little bit like the Kohen Gadol with regard to things that we're going to learn in the future, but not in regard to this. So you have to maintain, you have to still remain with the regular belt of linen. Again, but according to Mitzudos and Rashi, that's not what the Pasuk is teaching us. The Pasuk is not touching upon this at all. The Pasuk, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, is discussing the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Hedyot. And although it's written B'loshin Rabim, it's referring to the Kohanim HaGadolim of all future all the future multiple Kohanim Gadolim, and it's teaching us that when they go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Chatzar HaPnimis here means the Kodesh, the Heichel, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they should still do what they've been doing until now. They wear linen, they're not going to wear the big day zav, they're only going to wear linen, and we're not discussing again the Kohanim, the ordinary Kohanim. Okay, so that is the Chiddush of today. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're up to Yud Tes. Now here are three handouts, continuing the Sugya of Muksa.
That book.
Mishavis. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's more, it's very, very, it's in Hebrew. This is in English. So I bought it on the Amazon. It came from some library. So.
Yeah, the two sheets. Yeah, three sheets. The third sheet, I didn't realize only a few of them. I don't know if we'll get so far, but just take the third sheet. Just this. Okay. So, can I borrow this?
You can have it here.
I have to have it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Here is his credential. I'll let you know.
So you got this on Amazon, here from the library.
Yeah, I know.
How much was paper?
$6.
$6.
There was paperbacks even cheaper. I said, let me pay for $6.
And I also bought some books on Amazon. They also come to the library.
Yeah, yeah.
These books.
There's a lot of reference. I don't know. But each page here, he does this.
No, it's so wow. There's a lot of work.
It's over my head. I read it on Facebook. Over my head, you know, is the concepts.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. Thank you.
Went to a camp.